Good morning. Long time no talk to you. We wouldn't normally do this, but this is a trade, and had I traded this, I would have had a trade next week, so we'll just get this on back on schedule. I'd like everyone, if you would, to turn to the fourth chapter of Matthew, and it probably would help you to follow along, so... Because we're going to be in this passage for a few minutes. And we're going to be in verses 1 through 11. And it deals with the temptation of Christ. So, Matthew 4, starting in verse 1, we will read down through verse 11. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made to bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and all the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things I will give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Since the creation of the earth, what has happened? Take your mind back to the creation. What was it? The Garden of Eden. What was the Garden of Eden? Picture in your mind the Garden of Eden. Now we know that there was toil there because Adam's job was to tend the garden. But don't you picture it as a place of beauty? A place of peace, contentment. There's a lot been written about what actually the tending of the garden was. Most, about all of it, in fact, probably all of it is speculation. But the main idea that I've read is that it was, even though there was work involved, it was still peaceful work. And the whole abiding attitude was beauty and contentment. And then what happened? Serpent came along, didn't he? The serpent came along and he looked at Eve and he says, Hey, not supposed to eat of that tree over there, are you? And Eve says, No, we're not supposed to eat of that tree. God says, If we eat of that tree, we'll die. Can you picture the serpent, his response? I kind of picture it this way. You won't die. You won't die. I picture him as being very derogatory. And what happened? They partook of the tree of life and they didn't die, did they? But sin entered the world. So now we have sin entering the world and marring the beauty of the Garden of Eden. But fear not, because God has a plan. God has a plan to send a Redeemer. He's going to reveal this plan and he's going to establish the church, that heavenly kingdom, which will allow us to escape the sin that is now in the world. Sin can now be overcome and salvation is now available. Christ is in the world in human flesh. In Matthew 4 and 1, Christ was led of the Spirit. The very fact that He was led signifies purpose, doesn't it? And that purpose is to be tempted of the devil, to be tempted. The Holy Spirit led Christ into the wilderness, a purpose, to be tempted. And we're going to go down and examine the temptation, the whys and the hows, some of it. Won't get all the points. There could be several sermons made just out of this passage here. But we'll go ahead and go down through this and discuss this. But he's to be tempted by the devil. And the first thought that might come to your mind is that we're tempted by our own lust. Isn't that what the scripture says? We are tempted by our own lust and enticed. You're tempted by your own lust and enticed. The question is, who's the enticer? The word entice, by definition, is to lead on by exciting desire, hence to allure. Who does that? The reason I chose this passage in Matthew rather than the one in Luke is that this one calls the devil the tempter. I go back a lot of times to Job. Done it up here more than once. You think that God and Satan are behind the scenes making deals like they did in Job with Job? Take all he has, he'll deny you. Right? And then he didn't and says, "Okay, you didn't let me hurt him." So God says, "Okay, you can hurt him, but don't kill him." You suppose they're doing that now? Don't know, do we? Don't know. But what I do know is that the devil is the tempter. I do know that the devil can tempt me by using my own lust and enticing me to go away from the Word of God. The devil tempts us into sin. 1 John 2:16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Keep that phrase in your mind, "of the world," because we're going to go back to that. But this verse says, "all that is in the world," referring to what? Sin. The sin that is in the world can be classed into three categories: lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Okay? So that is all that is in the world. Lust is defined as uncontrolled, overmastering desire. Uncontrolled or illicit appetite. That's the definition of lust. I like the overmastering. That presents a picture, doesn't it? Overmastering. Overmastering desire. Okay, we go on to read 40 days and 40 nights in the temptation. 40 days and 40 nights. How many of you have ever fasted? Anybody ever fasted? How long have you fasted? I've heard a man say one time, "I've fasted either probably 4 hours or 5 hours, depending on when lunch is." But you know, it's probably a more serious subject than that, isn't it? I wasn't going to bring Rick Sparks up because I'm going to bring another quote of his later, and I hate to give him too much credit, but he said when he appointed the last officer, he said he was going to fast. I remember him saying that. Can you remember not eating for a day, whether you were deliberately fasting or not? How'd your stomach feel at the end of the day? Did you have a little burn in there? You know, a little rumbling? Can you imagine 40 days and 40 nights? The scripture says that Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and I believe it. I've heard people say, well, you can't last 40 days without water. Can you? I don't know. I didn't look it up. I don't know how long the body will go without water. And maybe Jesus had water. The point I'm making here is, the scripture says he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and I believe it. And at the end of those 40 days, how hungry do you suppose he was? How much rumbling do you suppose he had? How weak do you suppose he was? How much resistance do you suppose that he had after not eating for 40 days? Then the devil says, if thou be the Son of God. Why would he say that? If thou be the Son of God, basically saying, why would God put his Son through this? Why do you have to go through this? Why does the Son of God have to suffer so much? Do you think Satan knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? Sure. Weren't they there, both there, when Satan was cast out of heaven? Be my guess. He knew Jesus was the Son of God. Jesus knew he was the devil. So why did he say, if thou be the Son of God? It's for a challenge. It was the challenge, the takeaway. Prove that you're the Son of God. Prove it. We used to do that. I sold insurance for a while. When our business years ago went out of business and I was unemployed, one of the things I did was sell insurance, and one of the methods we used to sell that insurance was the takeaway. You have to qualify for this. You know, not everybody gets this. You know, we have to fill out these forms and we have to see whether you qualify. Because this isn't available just to everyone. The takeaway. Right? If thou be the Son of God, I want you to prove it. The takeaway. The challenge. But what did Jesus do? He resisted. Right? He resisted. And what were the words out of his mouth in that resistance? As it is written. As it is written. As what is written? The Word of God. Right? As the Word of God says, so Jesus Christ uses the Word of God as his weapon against that temptation. In verse 5 and 6, lust of the flesh. Okay, forgot to mention this is the lust of the flesh. Then the devil takes him up into the holy city and says, jump off and let the angels rescue you. Pride of life, right? Pride of life. And what does Jesus do again? He resists. And what are the words out of his mouth in his resistance? As it is written. So once again, he used the Word of God. As it is written. Then Satan shows him the kingdoms of the world. Verses 7 and 8. Well, I'm sorry, 8 and 9. The kingdoms of the world and the glory thereof. This is lust of the eyes. Now the question comes up, how could Satan give Jesus the kingdoms of the world? Did you ever stop when you read this verse, and I'm sure you've all read it, did you ever stop and think how could Satan give Jesus the kingdoms of the world? Can any of you think of any other names that the Bible gives the devil? One of them is a prince of something. The prince of this world, right? The prince of this world. That's in John 12 and 31 and John 14 and 30. That's another name for Satan, the prince of this world. So how is Satan the prince of the world? Back in 1 John, I read the scripture and it said, they're not of what? The lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, they're not of what? The kingdom of the Father, but they are what? Of the world. The lust, the sin, They're of the world, and Satan controls it. Satan controls us by tempting us into sin. And he controls the world because what does Scripture say about the path to destruction? It's wide, right? And who finds it? Many. The path to salvation, on the other hand, is narrow. And who finds it? Few. So many are in sin. Many are controlled by sin, by the devil, tempted by their lusts. So since sin is in the world, and Satan controls that sin, controls that temptation, he controls the world. He is the prince of the world. What he's saying here is, I'll give up that control if you bow down and worship me. I'll give it up. Now, can you stop and think of the ramifications of that? Number one thing, what happens right then if Jesus says, okay, give up the control of the world. I've got it now. What would he do? What does the Scripture say that God wants men to do? Repent. He doesn't want men to perish. He wants men to repent. So what in likelihood would Jesus do? Take away the sin. Right? So everyone could repent. Everyone could go to heaven. Everyone could be saved. But then he wouldn't have to die, would he? That would thwart the plan, wouldn't it? That would upset the plan. So Jesus resisted. And what did he say when he resisted once again? It is written. It is written. He used the word of God. Back to the start of this passage. Jesus Christ was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And I ask a question, why does he have to be tempted? And the answer to this is twofold. Number one is to prove that Christ was truly without sin. Many people now, and some of you out there are probably thinking, well, Christ was divine. He was the Son of God. He couldn't be tempted anyway. Christ came as a man, as flesh. We know that he had emotion, don't we? Because he wept. We know that he could be hurt. And I think we've seen in the last few years that he was probably hurt a lot more than we all realized during the time of his crucifixion. We know that his earthly body, his flesh could be torn. We know that he could die. That earthly body, that flesh, could die. I believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh totally. I believe that he could be tempted. I know that he could die. I know that he showed emotion. I believe he could be tempted. But he resisted. And that's the second thing with this. His example. He is our example. He is what we should be thinking about when we're tempted. We're all tempted, aren't we? We're all tempted. Our thoughts stray. There are things that pull us away. We're tempted. Once again, I think of Rick Sparks said one time, when he's tempted, when he feels his mind drifting, he feels his mind going away, he thinks of Scripture. He thinks of memory verses. Bits of Scripture that he recalls to get his mind off of where it's going. And what did Jesus Christ do? It's interesting, isn't it? What did Jesus Christ do? Referred back to the Scriptures, didn't he? As it is written. As the Word of God says. You suppose that's what we ought to do when we're tempted? Is that what you do when you're tempted? Ever since I heard Rick say that, I've tried that. It works. It works. If you find your mind straying and you find your mind going places where it shouldn't go, or if you're wanting to do something that you know you shouldn't do, think of Scripture. Think of what it is written and get your mind off of those things. And what's written in the Scripture? James 4 and 7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, There's no temptation made that you can't bear. But God will what? Find a way for you to escape. 2 Peter 2 and 9. God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. The godly. Those who are trying. Those whose heart is in it. The godly. God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. In 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9 calls the devil a roaring lion. Remember that verse? The devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. What does the 9th verse say? You remember what comes after that? Resist him. Resist him. And James says, he will then flee from you. My lesson today is, let's work on resistance. Let's work on resisting the devil. Humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. And what will happen? He'll lift you up in due time. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, and you will be exalted in due time. Humble ourselves to the Scriptures. Don't oppose the Scriptures. Read them. Obey them so you will know how to resist. If you have not resisted the temptation and you need to make something right, we invite you to come forward. If you desire to become a member of the kingdom and you want to be baptized and be embraced into the kingdom of God, the fold of God, we also invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.